Welcome to Transforming Education, Leadership Lessons. This podcast is hosted by Northwestern College. We're bringing you thought leaders who are influencing education and the world around them. Each episode provides new leadership lessons, so you can learn how to embrace your own influence.
Leadership has nothing to do with title or position. That leadership has to do with impact. And the role of a leader isn't to create followers, it's to enable more leaders.
Take away leadership qualities that inspire.
I think good leaders really get people brought together around a cause and can inspire them to be better than they were yesterday or to do something great.
Care about others.
We need teachers out there that are caring and compassionate and are interested in the student beyond the discipline that they're teaching.
Show people they matter.
We don't have a bullying problem. We don't even have a gun problem. We have a mattering problem.
By knowing you matter.
You matter to yourself first before you can matter to someone else.
So further your impact.
When you just authentically love your students, I just don't think you can help but grow.
Understand your core values.
You can tell pretty quickly any core leader whether or not he or she is there for the mission at hand, for the people that they serve, or whether they're there for themselves.
And align your mission.
Everything we do on campus, whether it's someone in the maintenance department or someone teaching in the classroom or to coach, it should tie back to our mission of impacting students for the cause of Christ.
Discover how to use your influence to inspire others.
That is why the relationship is so critical in everything we do, because when people know you care about them, they know yet they have your best interest, and then it sinks in.
Let's welcome our host, Gary Richardson.
Welcome to Transforming Education, Leadership Lessons. I want to thank you for listening to Transforming Education, Leadership Lessons, as I know that you have many options and your time is valuable. And because of that, we bring in thought partners to inspire and influence your leadership. Today, we will be discussing leadership lessons with Thomas Murray. Tom serves as the Director of Innovation for Future Ready Schools in Washington, D.C., and is a national speaker on education, writer of multiple books on education, and of course, a sought-after podcast because he agreed to be with us. His last two books, Learning Transform and Personal and Authentic, have reached bestseller status. Thomas testified before the United States Congress and has worked alongside that body, the U.S. Senate, the White House, the U.S. Department of Education, and state departments of education, corporations, and school districts throughout the country to implement student-centered learning. Tom will also be delivering our keynote address at Northwestern's Fall Leadership Conference next October. Welcome to the podcast, Tom.
Hey, Gary, thanks for having me. You know, and in the intro, you said sought after. I logged on thinking maybe I was the last one, bottom of the barrel, the only one that was able to say yes. And no, I'm just teasing. What an honor to be with you all. And to those of you that are listening, the only thing I want to say to kick off is thanks for your work. Thanks for loving and caring about kids. Thank you for the late nights, the early mornings, and the days where you just go and go and go. Gary, it's an honor to be with you. And to the listeners, I am so excited and fired up to come to Iowa and looking forward to that. It's going to be a great event.
We have a pretty good crowd and people get really excited and we usually fill what we need to fill as far as our seats. So in spite of the influence that Joe Sanfilippo has had on Northwestern College, we are looking forward to seeing if you can one up that guy.
I understand it's my job to come in and clean up the mess left by one of my best friends, you know, Joe. And I could, you know, for those of you that got to see Joe last year, he and I will give each other a hard time until the day we die. But he's as personal and authentic, which we'll be talking about, as it gets, and just an incredible, incredible leader. Just don't tell him that I said that.
No.
So if you heard Joe last year, hope you enjoyed the JV team because the varsity is going to be coming soon. So excited to be there with you.
Ah, that's good. So, Tom, we know that you travel all over the country speaking and you write and also influence national legislation on education. What is one thing, Tom, that you're working on right now or inspired by right now that might surprise our listeners?
So great question. You know, I'm just going to go to what I've been doing the past couple of days. I get inspired by educators all across the country. I get to be in so many places, so many different things I get to see. And yesterday, I keynoted the League of Innovative Schools, which is through Digital Promise, a great organization. It was about 60 leadership teams. And we did a site visit to Mineola on Long Island, Mineola Public Schools. And they were working in some areas that I'm working that some listeners may not know, because in my day job, I help to lead Future Ready Schools nationally, bipartisan, nonprofit. We don't sell anything out of DC. We work with school and district leaders all across the country. One of the areas that I saw at Mineola that I got super excited about that I'm also seeing nationally is really around some high school redesign. I get asked all the time, like, what's some innovative work that you're seeing and what's different? And, you know, for me, connections to the world of work and redesigning high school to allow students to find their interests and their passions and their strengths, and also, heck, find out things like they don't want to do so they don't go to college, take out hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt for basket weaving and like being like, oh, I can't make any money in this area, right? And when I was in Mineola on Tuesday, I saw these incredible pathways around cybersecurity. And then we've been doing some work around that at Future Ready Schools and some pathway work actually at the federal level. Kind of freeing up times are the way, and we get the box that we're often put in with certain requirements and those types of things. But when helping schools redesign, especially at the high school level, to be connected to pathways, kind of shifting maybe some traditional CTE, and CTE has always done an amazing job of connecting kids to workforce and developing those skills, but making sure there's some flexibility in that process as well. So a student doesn't get into something and realize, you know, a year in, hey, this isn't what I want to do with the rest of my life, which is also a really valuable lesson to learn in high school and instead of college. And so that's an area I've been working on. I think pathways at the high school, we'll be seeing more, I believe, at the federal level and the other piece is, you know, from a political end, both red and blue, both sides of the aisle love the workforce stuff and recognizing that our job is to help prepare learners for a very changing global economy. And so I think there's a lot of excitement around that work, a lot of great inspiration that I'm seeing in different high schools around the country that I get to work with. And I think at the end of the day, it's benefiting kids and igniting their passions and strengths and talents and preparing them from work.
Yeah, there's a couple bills in the Iowa legislature right now that relax some of the core requirements and allows some of the CTE to be used for the core courses, whether it be science or math, and then, of course, workforce readiness. So all around the auspices of Future Ready Schools. So there is that wave that's happening. Hopefully it continues. Tom, I noticed that we want to talk about the book Personal and Authentic, of which I have a copy. Forward was written by Inky Johnson. Of course, some people have seen him, probably many people have seen him. Motivational speaker, was a football player at Tennessee who had an injury that left his left arm and hand paralyzed. But as a result of that, he became pretty good, obviously a good motivated speaker. So my question is, what's your connection to Inky?
So Inky's become a really good friend over the years. When I asked him to write the foreword, he jumped right on it. His story is somebody that's amazingly inspiring. You started to talk about that. I love him like a brother. He's somebody that texts me literally every day, something encouraging, something motivational. He'll send me just a card, a quote, something, not these huge messages, just something to encourage and to inspire. And I will tell you, if you're not familiar with Inky, I encourage you, just look him up on YouTube and just listen for a little bit. You know, there's times where I'm having a rough day or I'm hanging my head. Just like all of us, I think about some of the things that he's been through in life where every step of the way he's faced adversity, he's kind of knocked it square in the mouth and continue to walk forward and saying like, that's all you got. I've got this.
Yeah.
You know, and you think about somebody, and for me, I asked Inky to write my foreword because I recognized he grew up in a very different life experience from me. And as an author, it's important that I'm able to connect with as many readers as possible. You know, Inky grew up 14 people living in a 2-bedroom home, 5 of them in and out of jail to this day. You know, when he went to the bus stop, he would shake his backpack to make sure that no mice or rats had made their way in overnight. He literally had very, very little south side of Atlanta. And it was a teacher and a coach that he credits with saving his life, not just changing his life. You know, Inky was on a street corner one day. He wasn't doing anything wrong, but there were some kids there that definitely involved in some things he wouldn't want to get involved with. And his coach, his 8th grade math teacher and coach, basketball coach, saw him. And he's like, Inky, get in the car. Inky, get in the car. He's like, coach, no, I'm good. Coach, I'm good. And that coach, he said, as he drove him home, said, Inky, I'm going to pick you up for high school every single day. You better not be late. I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to drop you off every day. We're going to go early. We're going to shoot some baskets. And he picked him up for high school every single day, kept him out of trouble. And years later, he walked his spouse down the aisle at Inky's wedding.
Oh.
So you talk about the impact of a teacher. Part of the reason that I did it is Inky is somebody that has faced adversity. And I know educators are really facing adversity. They have been they always have. School and district leaders always have. But it just seems to continue to increase. So how do we face adversity and recognize that obstacles can bring opportunities? And he is somebody to me that just really emulates that as an individual. His story is incredibly inspiring, but he also talks about how it was one educator that truly saved his life. And so he does an incredible podcast with that educator now, actually. And wow, what an inspiring crew. So Inky, I'll send this your way. I love you, my brother, and I appreciate you. And so having him write the forward to personal and authentic was perfect. You know, the other piece that I'll share to that, it's interesting because with some people, if they don't know Inky or they do know me, I've had a bunch of people say like, wait, you had a non-educator before they read it. You had a non-educator write the forward to personal and authentic. Tom, that doesn't seem like you, because I'm always about educator opportunities. And when I start to share part of the story about how an educator really saved his life, as he'll share, the impact of one educator seeing something in a student or an individual and not allowing that child to fail and doing, I will do it, literally picking him up for school every day. And it just shows the vast impact. And I think sometimes when we are facing adversity, it's easy to lose sight of that. You know, it's easy to lose sight of the impact that we get to have each and every day with kids. And so, so shout out to Inky for that. Thanks for giving a shout too.
Yeah. So to the book, I'd like to spend a little bit of time, Tom, if you don't mind, on chapter two of your book, Creating a Culture for Learning. We wrote a course in our principal preparation program here at Northwestern with that title. So I'm kind of interested in your thoughts. And of course, we'll squeeze this podcast into the curriculum of the course as well. But specifically, would you speak about the concept of cultures of innovation are the culmination of action-oriented leadership by many inside the organization? So what are those actions that need to happen to create the desired culture?
Let's just start with this. It starts with each one of us, right? It is really easy in our world to point the finger. It's real easy as a principal to be like, well, if this teacher would finally, if this union president would actually, if my superintendent would finally, if our board would actually, like that is really, really easy to do. And by the way, it takes zero courage. And by the way, it's also been me at times, just being honest, being real.
Sure.
You know what's hard for me, Gary, is looking in the mirror and asking the same question. Tom, how do you influence that? Tom, if that's not a good environment, how can you make it better? Tom, if you're going to be walking in this place and it seems to be pretty toxic, how can you leave it a little bit better when you found it? Because this, pointing the finger, is really easy in our world, but this can be a bit of a challenge. And so what I would say to leaders listening to this first and foremost is it starts with you. And if you are a school or district leader leading this, you also set the tone. My buddy, Todd Whitaker, who I'll be with tomorrow, actually, he rewrote the book, What Great Principals Do Differently, What Great Teachers Do Differently. He's an incredible author. One of the things he says in there is that culture will be set by the worst behavior a leader's willing to tolerate. And so I ask you, if you're listening, to reflect on what do you do to create an environment where people want to be? Now, I'm not naive. I recognize that not every day is just this fun party to do whatever you want, do it, because cultures of innovation and also have really high expectations. I want to know when I'm working in an environment that everybody else is working as darn hard as I am. And there's some accountability there, but not as in a gotcha, but as in a, I gotcha. And so Joe, who we'll all give a hard time to, Sanfilippo, one of the things he talks about all the time that I'm sure he shared with these leaders is the impact of even just 30 seconds of, at a time. And I love that. I share that all over the place, giving Joe credit. You know, because sometimes we think about, you know, culture. Well, we've got to spend this $1 million on this program for 8 years and we've got to bring all these people in. No, it starts by recognizing that every interaction matters. Every interaction we have in a given day is either a culture builder or a culture killer. There's very few totally neutral interactions. And you know what I'm talking about. You're walking down a hall and you just give a colleague a warm smile. Good morning, how you doing today? Just a really quick interaction. But you know what it's like. You know, the faculty meeting was supposed to end at 4 o'clock yesterday. And the one person asked the question at 3:58 and then it was 4:17, we're still sitting there, right? And now I'm giving that person the like hairy eyeball, right?
Yeah.
And don't tell me that kids don't see that. So what I ask our school and district leaders to think about when we think about culture is how do you model the type of environment you want to be? How does your leadership model the type of environment that you want to lead in? Because I recognize there's toxic leaders out there. Now, not in Iowa, but there's toxic leaders out there, right? And I say that tongue in cheek, but here's the thing. I don't believe any educator, I don't believe any principal, any superintendent wakes up in the morning, drives to school and be like, you know, I want to be the bad dinner table conversation tonight. I believe people are really well-intentioned, but I believe those well-intentions can lead to severe micromanagement, severe, you know, just all those different pieces where we hire great people. And then all of a sudden we're trying to do everything with them, for them, breathing down their throats. Man, we got to hire great people. Now, often people says, hire great people, train them well, and get out of their way. I actually disagree with that. I say hire great people, train them well, and support them every day. And to me, that's a little bit different. Sure. So I think the other piece is looking at culture, is looking at and leveraging student voice. you know, I have the opportunity to coach principals and superintendents all across the country. And I was working with a superintendent recently, and I'm going to be very generic because I would never share, you know, a struggle that person has. This person in the state, their high school has been recognized as top 10 high schools in the state for 5 years in a row. Everybody would look at that and be like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. That's where I want to go. And he says, you know, Tom, I need to be totally honest. I wouldn't send my own children here yet. I was like, what? What do you mean you wouldn't send? And he said, Tom, we did a survey with students. And listen, he's newer to the district. This isn't like a 20-year suit being like, yeah, I'm still working on it. He's newer to the district, really, really high performing from like every metric that we would be weighed on in the public. He said, we gave students a survey. And one of the questions was, I believe at least one adult in the building cares about me. He said, Tom, it was 36% said yes. Just process that. So we looked at it and we were just, okay, well, we can't hide the data from our folks, right? Like, we got to be real. We don't want to just blast them and create this knocking, but we got to be honest and look at, like, this is what students have said. And so one of the ways we were going to look at it, and we decided to look at some of that data, was, okay, one out of every three kids say they feel an adult cares about them. Let's ask this question. What are we doing right for those one out of three kids? Let's start there. Because that naturally leads to, man, we've got 2/3 of our kids that show up every day feeling like nobody here cares about them, right? And well, it turns out they're in a very wealthy area. All of their kids literally have tutors, right? So people are feeling like, well, why should I change? All my kids get fives. They all have personal tutors 3 days a week as well outside of school. And so there's all these struggles and pieces there, but so much of that is cultural in nature, right? And so I think it begins with us. I think we need to leverage students as part of that process and ask them. You ever ask a 17-year-old kid, like, they'll be honest. They'll tell you what they think, right? So leverage that student voice and recognize people first. You know, doing things with Future Ready Schools, we're always talking about innovation and cutting edge stuff. And, you know, AI is everything today. Everybody, you know, if I go to a conference, which I'll be at tomorrow, and if AI is in the title, it's packed. Everybody's in there. Everybody wants to be there. I don't care what the technology is. I don't care what the latest and greatest is. If you lose sight of being about people first, it's not going to be sustainable. And here's the thing. It's not about this free for all, let people do what they want. It's high expectations and more love in the process. Right. Yep. So when you think about those students, it's adding that additional love. It's not lowering the bar. You know, the moment we start calling kids low, we're going to start teaching them low. And all of a sudden, if we're lowering the bar, now we are really a huge part of that problem. And so how do we add more love in those environments that are not easy? As principals, as district leaders, how are we modeling those outcomes, modeling the type of behaviors that we want to see? So I think, Gary, that, you know, culture to me is foundational to all of that, to creating those cultures of innovation, because you can have the greatest written curriculum in the world, but if nobody wants to be there, what are we really doing anyway? Mm-hmm. How are we getting to really know our students? Let me give you one quick example of something I wrote in Personal and Authentic that I thought was just really unique. And to be honest, I wish that I thought about as a principal, but I didn't. So for principals and district folks listening, just a great idea. I believe it was out of Colorado, if I remember correctly. I saw it in an article and I reached out to the principal for Personal and Authentic to share more. What they did was they took every staff member in the building for a faculty meeting kind of thing, every custodian, kitchen staff member. Literally, if you worked at that building, they were part of this. And they put chart paper all around the room, and the chart paper had every single kid's name from start to finish by grade level, every kid's name. And then there was three columns. The first column was something like, I know that child by name and face. Like, if I see that kid, I know who that is. That's Bobby Smith. I know Bobby's a second grader, right? Like, check. The next one was, I can talk about the academics for that kid. I know what they're interested in, their passions, their strengths. And the third column was, I can talk about what that kid's family is like, what they like to do outside of school. So I really know that kid. And they gave every person a permanent marker. And they said, we need you to be real, but I want you to go around and every child in the building, if you're a fifth grade teacher and you know some first grade students, you're making some check marks, and you put check marks where you can see these students. And what they found was that what you'd probably expect, your high flyers, right? Maybe like really severe behavior issues, or your honors kid that gets every single award at something, right? Everybody knew him. Everybody knew him. Everybody knew a lot about him. And there was this massive portion of kids, like 60 to 70% that were by face and name. They didn't really know the kids. And so culture is about really getting to know your people. And the final thing I'll say about that is trust. How are you working to build trust? You know, maybe you're moving to a new building in this coming year, maybe whatever that case might be, trust is the foundation of all of that. If you're a newer in your building and recognizing trust can take a long time to establish, and it can be shattered overnight in an email. Mm-hmm. So how do we model that? How do we build trust with our people?
We are visiting with Dr. Thomas Murray, a nationally renowned speaker, presenter, and writer on the topic of student-centered learning and school culture in this episode of Transforming Education Leadership Lessons. Tom, one of the things that I wanted to ask about, but I think you already answered it, is your school's culture perfectly aligns with the mindset and actions of the adults in your building. So do you have anything else to add to that?
Let me add to that, Gary, because one of the pieces that I would share there is, you know, sometimes I get to work with so many different places around the country, probably do 80 or 90 events each year. You know, I get to see a lot, but I get to be with a lot of people. Some days I'm with principals, some days I'm with superintendent, some days I'm with all teachers. And I can remember a time specifically, and it's happened multiple times, where I was doing maybe a half day workshop, full day workshop, and lots of teachers, but the admin are there too. And maybe over lunch, a teacher will pull me aside and say, you know, hey, like, I'm really glad you're doing this work on culture today because our principal really needs to listen to this, yeah. Right? And we'll make a comment of like, well, like, you know, everybody agrees that like, if we just got a new principal, this place would be perfect and amazing, right? And so I start to ask him some questions like, so you know, and I'm never going to throw my admin under the bus because I fully recognize, I referenced earlier, you know, it toxic leadership is a very, very real thing, right? But at the same time, like I know how it can be. And especially if you're trying to make some changes or you're newer and they're figuring it out. But let me ask you this question. Let's change it this way. Let's say a principal is an elementary school. Maybe they have 50 staff members. Here's a utopian-esque thought, but it would be possible. What if those 50 people did every single thing they could to make it the greatest place to come to work every single day? And that was their goal. In spite of whatever leader might be doing, what if all 50 of those people did everything they could? Because it's really interesting, because all of a sudden it goes, oh, well, you know, like I can't do that. Well, if everybody created the best place to be in spite of what a leader might be doing, what might that place look like? And it's interesting how quickly the conversation turns. And so my challenge is, again, I can't change other people. I can motivate and encourage them to at least reflect and think about it and then hopefully want to change. But at the same time, what can you do with that? And so, yeah, every custodian, every food service member, every other person in that building impacts it every single day. And so with that, I ask those listeners, how do you build culture and how do you create environments where people want to be? And the flip side to that, for my admin that are listening, when you mess up, as good as you are, as talented as you are, as experienced as you are, it's going to happen. You're human. How do you own it, recognize it, and say to your staff, you know what? I recognize I made that call. It didn't work. I own it. I know you put a lot of work into it. I'm sorry. It didn't work, but we got to get this right for kids. So help us fix this, right? That moment of inspiration, that moment of even vulnerability gives our teachers permission in the classroom to be able to say when a lesson falls apart, as they are, it didn't work. I'm going to pick up the pieces. I'm going to keep moving forward, which, by the way, gives our kids permission, because learning is messy, when they mess something up, to say, hey, when life goes sideways, here's how you pick up the pieces. Here's how you can keep moving forward. But it's recognizing each one of us is responsible, going back to what I said earlier, because pointing a finger is pretty easy.
Yeah. So, Tom, as educators and leaders in education, what would you want us to know about the rest of the compartments or chapters in your book, Personal and Authentic?
I'll just share a couple pieces here. One is, I will say, one of the things that I wrote about in chapter 3, I call the hidden stories within. I share a story from my daughter because I recognize I'm a dad of two. My 14-year-old daughter, my 10-year-old son, who are completely different children. My wife and I laugh and recognize, like, if we just had our first kid, we'd be like, see, two educators come together. Look how perfect this child is. And then we had the second one, and we're like, we have no idea what we're doing. Who's got a parent help, right? And so anyway, my daughter's had some pretty significant medical issues. And I tell in chapter 3 a little bit about her journey, but I start with some of the data. And so I ask you, and if you're listening, we'll do a little bit of this in the fall, so I won't give too much away. But I share some data, and people will judge. It's human nature to judge, right? Your brain is wired to make connections. So your brain is wired to judge. Now, what we do with that, it can make you good or bad, but brain is wired to judge. And so I share some data, and, you know, people make connections. Well, you know, kid's lazy, kid doesn't care, parents don't want to value education, parents don't value what we do. And then I tell the story, and it completely shifts the thinking. And I call it the hidden stories within. So as leaders, I ask you, and hidden can be good. I mean, maybe you're listening to this podcast, and this weekend coming up, you're super excited because you're going away with your spouse, kid-free, for your anniversary overnight, and you're super excited. Don't tell me it doesn't impact your lens. Don't tell me it doesn't impact your mood. Don't tell me it doesn't impact the way in which you see the world. But maybe you're listening to this today and you're struggling. Maybe your marriage is falling apart. And recently you heard, like, you spend too much time at work. What about me? And I'm allowed to say, and very vulnerable, like I heard at times when I was a principal, being as vulnerable as I can be. And maybe you're struggling today and nobody knows. Don't tell me it doesn't impact your lens or your mood, the way you see the world, the way you respond to people and your decisions. And I share that very vulnerably, but also looking at every student that walks into your building today has stories on their heart. So how do we get to know them that impact their lens, their mood, how they respond to people, right? So how do we get to know the stories of others? And so I love sharing, and we'll share some real practical ways and things that I know can work when I'm with you all there. But I think it's getting to know the stories of others. The one other piece that I'll share, and there's so many others, but I know we're limited on time. You know, self-care is one of those things that is super easy to talk about. I can talk about it a lot, and sometimes I am the worst person in the world where I'm talking about it on a stage and realizing, like, man, do I practice what I preach here? Because self-care is an easy thing to do and easy thing to talk about. But what I know about school leaders is that, and district leaders, is they give so much and they love so hard, and there's always work to do and there's always a place to improve. There's always something that can get better. There's always a place for them to get back to. There's always more instructional leadership they can provide. There's, what I know is it's easy to go and go and go and go. And actually, in my thank you where I started, and give until you've got nothing left. Yeah, I also know those people sometimes on a Friday feel kind of guilty just leaving it at school, being like, you know what, it's got to wait till Monday because my kids have games this weekend and I just need to be dad, or I just need to be mom, right? And so with that, my part of the challenge would be, you know, recognizing that self-care is not selfish, and you are no good as a leader face first on the floor with nothing else to give, or no good having had no rest and now you're just short with everybody because you're in a mood because it's been a really long week, and that impacts people. And so recognizing your families, keep your priorities in order. Your families have to come first. This work is vital and important, but don't lose sight of your marriage and your children and all those pieces. And take time to disconnect. Take time and make sure to say, you know what, I'm not checking email today. I'm not looking at it today because my son needs me. My daughter needs me. It's been a long week. And so with that, for school and district leaders, thank you for giving so much and so hard, the many nights that you have away from home that you don't get to put your own children in bed. But recognizing they are important and you cannot lose sight of that. Yeah. So with all that, self-care is not selfish. Make sure to take care of yourself. It's only a little part of the book, only a few pages, but at the same time, I think it's one of the most important pieces.
Yeah. So we're excited to have you here in October for our leadership conference. What are you excited about sharing with our group next fall?
Yeah, I'm excited to just be with great people that are really talented at what they do, that need some maybe encouragement or inspiration, some reflection, some loving challenges, but at the same time, that I get to learn and grow from. You know, Gary, part of my role in walking into any room, especially with administrators, I will never, ever walk in and share, here's how I did it, and this is the perfect way I did it, and I had the perfect building, because I know every person in that room would see right through me. That's not my style. Yeah. I'll be real. I'll show humility. That's always my goal. I'll be vulnerable. I'll tell folks when I mess certain things up. And so part of what I'm really looking forward to is just leveraging some of my own vulnerability and stories to let people just let their guards down a little bit and just keep it real. I recognize that every person that I'll be working with has amazing things happening in their schools. I have no doubt. But if we're really honest with ourselves, we've probably got a whole bunch of things where we probably need to improve or shift what we're doing or something that's not working. And that's okay. Organizations are really complex places, right? So I'm super excited to come in to work alongside these great school and district leaders. And with my style, I also say, I like to be really practical, because if I'm you listening, like, hey, am I going to go to this thing in October? I know that if you're investing time away from the people you care about, time away from your buildings, time away from all that stuff, it has to be worth your time. And so part of it is we will work throughout our time together a variety of really quick activities, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes that will probably make you laugh a lot, which I'm guessing you'll probably need. I'll see some belly laughs, I guarantee you that. But at the same time, the next day at your faculty meeting, you can steal and go use. So I want to be really, really practical. And I love giving folks, love giving my leaders, hey, here's 5 or 6 things you can do at your next faculty meetings or your next in-service day, department meetings, whatever that might look like, that you can steal. I need 0 credit for that are things evergreen around leadership and culture and communication and community and all that different stuff. And so I want to be really practical and fun, so they leave with things that they can actually do and implement as soon as they leave.
Nice. Last thing. What are you reading right now that our listeners might be interested in?
What's funny is, as an author, I actually read very few education books.
Yep.
One of the things I like to do is read books about business and other pieces that are out there and translate that to, like, what does that mean about being a school principal? because let's, yes, there's brilliance in our industries. I've shared about the people that are listening to this, the brilliance that are happening in their building, but there's brilliance in every industry. And so what are the ways that they're innovating? What are the ways that they are doing things a little bit differently? What are the ways that they're marketing and sharing their story and all those pieces? Personally, the book that I'm reading right now is, I love finance stuff. So I love personal finance. That is kind of my own hobby and my own passion and those pieces there as well. It's actually, I've become more of a podcast guy because I've been, and I'm a big Dave Ramsey fan personally. And so I've been listening to a lot of podcasts. I love his work. Books and pretty much any of the books that they put out, I really enjoy reading. I think they're really, so it has nothing to do with education, but it's my own personal education. And so for me, it's finding ways to grow and to learn there as well. I do read education books, of course, but primarily I read things outside of education. And so I encourage those people that are listening today, also find things that you love to do that have nothing to do with education, because you need those passions and interests outside of the work you do every day. For me, it happens to be personal finance. It's something that I'm helping with my own children and helping them think through things. It's just a way I love to learn and grow myself.
Good. Thanks for your time today, Tom. We'll catch up in the fall, and we look forward to seeing you.
I cannot wait. Thank you for the opportunity, and I hope to see all of you that are listening in October. Thanks, Gary, for the opportunity.
All right. Fantastic. Thanks to Tom Murray for giving him his time and sharing his wisdom as we reflect on leaders that inspire and influence education and our world. So, Danielle, what are your highlights that you took from Tom Murray today?
I took a lot from what he said. He was really fun to hear speak. He had some really great points. The thing that I think a lot of people can really relate to were his comments about self-care and how important it is for us to, even though we might feel guilty about leaving everything behind on a Friday afternoon and disconnecting over the weekend, how it actually is really important for us to do so.
Self-care is not selfish. I hadn't heard that. That was good.
Yep.
So he also said obstacles bring opportunities. I thought that was good. Mm-hmm. And that culture will be set by the lowest behavior tolerated. So that can be culture in a whole building, or it can be culture in a room, or culture in an organization. But I thought that was really good too. So, and like Joe, every interaction matters, which is true as well. So what's Tom reading?
He reads a lot of Dave Ramsey.
Yeah.
He likes to get out of his kind of education niche and kind of go out from there. And he said that his passion is business. So he's a Dave Ramsey man.
Yeah, that's good. Anything else you noticed?
A lot of other things.
Yeah.
One of the things I would like to highlight, though, the only other thing that I'd like to highlight, is that he mentioned culture starts with you. So that's such a good reminder that we all have bad days, but we need to remember that it's important to remember that the culture of our workplace, it does start with us.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So thank you, Danielle. And thanks all of you for listening to Transforming Education Leadership Lessons. You have many options for podcasting, and we appreciate you spending time with us. As a leader in education, you matter, and how you lead matters to a whole bunch of people that you serve on a daily basis. You were created for significance. Special thanks to Danielle and for Mike for making this podcast a reality. And for those two and myself, until next time, inspire and influence.